Good morning, guys. The first couple of years that I was coordinator, I simply followed in my predecessor's footsteps. I didn't really know that there needed to be any changes in our nursery. And gradually, God burdened my heart for better story time with our children and less chaos in the toddler room. So I started searching for materials, and I came up with Children Desiring God curriculum. And this, when I found it, I knew exactly this was what we wanted for our children. It was so Christ-centered. And although we have yet to implement all that they suggest, we have made some significant changes in our nursery, and I believe that we're seeing God-honoring results. In fact, a couple of weeks ago, I was serving to replace a worker, and one person teaching the story came running in, and she says, "I can't believe it, the kids were finishing the story for me." How often do they hear that story in order to know it? And so I started thinking, and actually we tell each story 3 times on a Sunday, and then the next week we tell it 3 more times. So if your kids are in 2 weeks in a row, they're going to hear each story 6 times, enough to really learn and understand the teachings that we're trying to teach. So our philosophy in the nursery is one that says, "Behold, children are a gift from the Lord." That's Psalm 127, verse 3. When this is our attitude and our focus, our nurseries will flourish. For too long, nurseries have been a part of the church simply because someone needed to take care of little ones while parents went to worship and teach Sunday school classes. But the church can be so much more than just a babysitting service. That's what that ends up being when they're just there to take care of the kids. Our nursery is exciting and a vital ministry. And it can be the launching pad for nurturing their faith and helping them grow into knowledge of the Lord. And we are commissioned by the Lord to teach our children about Him. Jesus said, "Suffer the little children to come unto me, and do not hinder the children from coming to me, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to these." Matthew 18:3 says, "Except you be converted and become as little children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven." So we see here that Jesus loves little children, and we should begin teaching them about His truths and Him in the very earliest of years in the nursery. So we know that our children learn easily. We see it every day in our own infants and toddlers at home. They learn from the moment they're born, and God gave them this capacity to learn. Outside of the home, though, the nursery is where this learning begins. We're training this next generation to love God, to serve Him, and to glorify Him. Psalm 145, verse 4 through 7 says, "One generation will commend your works to another. They will tell of your mighty acts. They will speak of your glorious splendor and of your majesty, and will meditate on your wonderful works. They will tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your deeds. They will celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of the righteousness." Where else are our children going to learn this but in our nurseries? Of course, they should be learning it in your home too, but here is where it needs to be centered. Our little ones must be fed the Word of God, because they are in danger of having their cravings for learning satisfied with error from the world's teachings. Spurgeon says it this way: "The more the young are taught God's Word, the less likely they are to be misled." I'll repeat that. The more the young are taught God's Word, the less likely they are to be misled. The world tries to get in its ideas into our children's minds very subtly. It starts with shows like Sesame Street, Just to Fill the Day, Barney, Dora the Explorer. There's a whole list of shows that they watch. And these are entertainment programs for our kids. But our children are not always able to discern reality from fiction. And rarely do these philosophies of these writers match up with ours. They sneak in concepts to our children and make them see what they want them to see. And we must be teaching God's word to them daily. And Colossians 2:8 is an admonishment for this. It says, "See that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human traditions and the basic principles of the world rather than Christ." This is a warning to us as parents, as teachers, and as workers with our children. We must protect their minds and hearts from empty philosophy by filling their minds with the Word of God. Now, although infants and toddlers can't understand deep spiritual truths, their spirits can still respond to the Spirit of God, and they can begin to understand simple truths that will someday lead them into a deeper truth. The single most important part of shaping our children's minds and hearts is helping them understand, helping them know, and helping them delight in the greatness and goodness of God. And that's a quote from John Piper. These simple truths are like building blocks. In the nursery, we're laying a foundation for other teachers to build upon as they mature. A child listening in class to his teacher's gentle voice may one day develop into a Martin Luther or a C.H. Spurgeon and shake the world with God's truths. Who can tell? We don't know. We fill our nursery with Christian music, with prayers and stories about Jesus. We try to play a CD every Sunday morning so that the kids can sing along with us. And I want to challenge you as workers to learn the words of these songs that you hear so that you can sing along with the children and repeat these songs throughout the day while you're interacting with them. Children respond to our moods. So if we as a worker are agitated and have had a bad day, maybe everything went wrong on Sunday morning that could go wrong, and you're just frustrated, you may need time to confess sin, you may need time to just pray before you walk into our nursery, because the children sense your mood. So one of the things that we've done in terms of a schedule, because I addressed that earlier on, is I made up a schedule for the workers in the toddler room, and it's interspersed with 10 minutes of free time play, 10 minutes puzzle time, beanbag toss time, story time, coloring time, more free play, singing a memory verse, and then reading books. So I've broken it up with activity and then quiet activity and physical activity and more quiet activity. This helps them not become too bored in the room and not become too crazy either. So the best foundation that we can lay for these little ones is the sure foundation of Jesus Christ. All else will crumble. This is our foundation. This nursery ministry is the beginning of leading a child to Christ. Much of this work is hidden and may not be visible for many, many years. But God is faithful. He says that His word will not return void. And this is a promise that we as parents, teachers, and workers can cling to. The foundation of prayer and blessing and a godly atmosphere may look unimportant to the untrained eye and may even be forgotten as the child matures, but that foundation of biblical truths can be the means of salvation. So teaching big truths through the Bible stories, when God calls us to work for Him, He gives us the preparation for that work. We need to spend time first being in the worship service, being fed the Word of God. Then we go and we feed our little children. If we're not spending time with the Master, we will not be equipped to teach His truths. We need to study Christ and His teachings. An hour's communion with Jesus is the best preparation for teaching. If we're going to be used of the Lord, we must have a cleansed heart. If God isn't real or treasured to us, it's impossible to teach it. Search your own soul for hidden sin. We are His vessels and His tools, and we need to be clean if we're to lead His little ones to know Him. And God is determined to save this next generation. Psalm 22:30-31 says, "Prosperity will serve him. It will be told of the Lord to the coming generation. They will come and they will declare His righteousness to a people who will be born that he performed it. And he will do this in spite of our failures. We can't do a good job of teaching without spending time in God's word and prayer. And I can't emphasize that enough. We can't teach without first spending time with God. There are other instruction books that are helpful, but these should be used after our time with God and the Word. We need to be prepared when we teach a story. We need to be excited. We need to have read over the content. You have a lesson plan there, most of you do, of the lesson. And it gives some scriptures up at the top about where you can go to find extra information about this story. So you need to read those over and familiarize yourself with that background early in the week. And it gives you time then to think about how you can apply that lesson to the children's lives. Think of questions that you can ask them to help them see the truths in that lesson. And the truth in the first lesson is the title of the lesson. Because God is central and the focus of all of life, He must be central and focused in our nursery and in our interactions with our children. We should constantly be talking about Jesus and God with our children during playtime. He is the center of our prayer, our teaching, our relationships. He's the center of our worship, our actions, our speech, and our thoughts. So what are some of the big truths that we want to get across to these little ones? One of them is God is good. God knows everything. God created everything. God is strong. God is everywhere and sees everything. God knows everything. God is big. We need God. He is my friend. And Jesus died for me and loves me. So these are just a few of them. When you're doing a story, it can be told using the pictures. Here's a set of pictures that we get with our lesson plan. It can be used with puppets and flannel board figures. We have yet implemented flannel board because that takes a lot of preparation time to go through the whole gamut of pictures and pick out what you need. So if you choose puppets, I would encourage you to try and find a biblical puppet or something inanimate that doesn't scare the children. And my puppet actually, I'm sorry I didn't bring it, was a little flower. And so that's non-threatening for the kids. Because sometimes they do get scared of these. So they're bombarded with fictitious characters all the time. So we need to be true and real about what we share with them. I sometimes have thought the use of a puppet is great for getting the children to the table to tell the story. You know, talk with the puppet and get in here. Or maybe the puppet can do the review at the end of the story later on in the day. And that way you're telling the truth, not the puppet. See, I think that's important. So the story is totally printed for you, including with it, you can see in the blocks on the side, there is everything you need. They're going to tell you how to make a sad face and tell you when to show the picture and then make a very sad face, as if the first one you showed wasn't sad enough. You need to make another one. So they've made this so anyone can teach this lesson. Okay? So let's do a lesson. We're going to do lesson one. Julia's going to come help me. Okay, I'm the storyteller and you're the kids, okay? There were no trees in the world. There were no flowers. There were no birds. There were no dogs. There were no mommies, no daddies, no babies. It's very sad. But there was God. And God is so big, and God is so strong. Strong. So, God made the trees. And God made the flowers. God made the birds. God made the dogs. And God made mommies and daddies and babies. God made everything. Just everything. God is so big. God is so strong. yay, God. And you guys are supposed to say, yay, God.
Yay, God.
Okay, now, I like to do the review later, so we want to sing the song. And you guys can sing along with us. The song is My God is So Great. I think most of you know it. All right, we'll start.
My God is so great, so strong and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do for you. My God is so great, so strong and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do for you. The mountains are His, the rivers are His, the stars are His handiwork too.
Woo!
My God is so great, so strong and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do for you.
Thanks.
Thank you,
Jalea. So some of the questions that you can ask after that would be some things you can make them think is wiggle your toes and your fingers. Can you make toes? Can you make fingers? No. Who makes toes and fingers? God can't. Only God can make our toes and our fingers. So that's the lesson. Okay? See how easy that was? Okay. And now we want to focus on teaching God's Word through Scripture memory. And I have made up these little packets. And if you have a two-year-old, you probably have one at home with a verse for every month. And it's for you to take home and work with your kids. Hopefully, they will learn one verse a month. And we have them posted throughout the room so that you can, as a worker, be focusing on them and it reminds you it's time to say a verse. When you're playing with the children, say a verse. So they have amazing memories, our children do, and they memorize everything so effortlessly. They're just constantly memorizing, and they will memorize either what the world has to offer them or what we have to offer them. And why not take advantage of this God-given gift for the benefit of our children's spiritual growth? This window of opportunity for easily memorizing things is open for about 12 years. And I found that what is learned in childhood is often retained through a lifetime. For many adults, the verses that they know and that come automatically to them if they were raised in a Christian home are verses that they learned in their childhood. Seize that moment. And I know this is true because when I was a child, I learned great passages of Scripture, and I still have them to memory. And it's a blessing to me to be able to recall verses at the appropriate time when I need help. You know, ask and it shall be given you. You know, some of those verses. So memorizing Scripture provides children with an ever-present counselor, an ever-present protector. And we can't always be with our children, but if the Word of God dwells in their hearts, then they have wise counsel with them in times of need. So think of that. We're preparing them for their life. Our curriculum gives us the one Scripture verse here, and it's just a joy to hear them share their verses. And I would like to give you suggestions on how you can help your children memorize these, but I didn't have too many ideas. But I'm going to take a suggestion from a mother who used potty training time, which, you know, with our kids is constantly. And she sat with her child and while they were on the pot and said the memory verse over and over and over. And it was such a pleasant thing that I actually got to take that child to the potty. And I knew that, and so I had her tell me the verse. And it came natural for her. It was very easy because that was a normal thing for her to do. If you're musically inclined, you can put the verse to music if you're that so inclined. You can break it up into small portions so they can understand and learn. You may need to tell them exactly what the Bible verse says, what it means, you know. This verse today is a friend loves at all times. And that's pretty easy to share with them. Proverbs 17:17, a friend loves at all times. Not hard to understand. So bath time is another time that you have their undivided attention. You can just use blocks of time that you have to help them memorize. Deuteronomy 6, 5 through 8 says, "Love the Lord your heart with all your soul, with all your strength. These commandments I give to you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up." So what does this tell us? First, it tells us that we must first love God with all our heart and our soul. Then we're to teach that love to our children. We're to teach it all day long. When you rise, when you go down, when you walk along the way, when you sit in your house. It can be as you're walking and you see rocks on the ground. My little boy loved rocks. He loved ants and everything else. And if he could see an ant, he would find it. You know, if there was one out there, he found it. And he had to play with it. So I could say, "Thank you, God, for the ant. The ant has a story to teach us. He prepares a long time. He's not a sluggard." You can do the same with flowers and grasses and birds, anything. All of that is teaching time with your children. Understanding what often comes as they are consistently exposed to the truth. So the Holy Spirit will bring situations where these verses can be understood to them. So if a teacher or a worker helps a child to label a situation, understanding is even more likely to occur. He then begins to see things from a biblical perspective because the Bible becomes his frame of reference rather than a cartoon. So teaching the big truths through the worship and song. There are so many Christian music CDs on the market. If you are unsure, ask another parent of older children in your congregation for what their children listen to Christian music-wise. And I just would caution you to always preview a CD before bringing it into your nursery or having your children listen to it. The music may be too fast, the words too fast, the beat of the music may be too harsh for them, you know, it may cause them to be uncomfortable. So they need to be easy to listen to, words that are easy to hear. And the message needs to be clear. And talk about what the song means, what the words of that song mean, what they're saying. And then prayer for the children should be a vital part of the nursery ministry. Even when those prayer moments may be hard to snatch, they are possible. As workers, we have the opportunity to silently pray the whole time we're in the nursery, if we wanted to, as we're interacting with children. And I've given you each a little prayer list. Brian, would you hold yours up? A list of all the children's names. That's current for a couple weeks ago. It's not current anymore. But you stick that in your Bible, and during your prayer time, don't pray for everyone individually. You probably can't do that. But pray for them collectively. As our children and the parents that are trying to raise their children to honor Christ, remember them. And we have scriptures on the wall in our nursery that can be read as a prayer too. So there are things up there to help focus our attention on prayer. And it's important to teach our toddlers about prayer. We can have them first sit at the table and fold their hands as they're getting ready to have a snack. And tell them that you're going to be talking to God. That's what prayer is. It's talking to God. And explain that God hears them when they pray. First, you may want to pray. Sometimes the children do want to pray, and it's always good to let them. Other adults in the room can help model prayer too. But prayer should not just be limited to formal times. It should also be spontaneous. For example, if a child falls and hurts her knee, you can pick her up and hold her and say, "Jesus, please heal Jenny's knee." Or if a child is playing with a toy and just having a great time, another prayer could be, "Thank you, God, for toys." We need to thank him for the good things too. So my next thoughts are working with parents on behavioral issues. Many times in the nursery, workers will be called upon to settle little disputes and discipline children. It is my desire to support the parents and to line up our discipline with theirs. It is never for us to administer corporal punishment. It is never I repeat, never for nursery workers to administer corporal punishment. If anything requires anything like that, a behavior requires that, the parents need to be brought in, definitely. We do sit children out in a chair for timeout when they've misbehaved. And a lot of times a worker will send them out to their leader or supervisor to be talked to over their misbehavior. One verse that speaks of the Word of God is 2 Timothy 3:16. All of Scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. And training in righteousness is what we are trying to do in our nursery. This means we're teaching children to be respectful of others, to be polite, to take care of toys and equipment, along with godly thoughts. So when a child grabs a toy from another child, the adult should gently take the toy away and instruct the child in proper behavior. This is his toy. Why did you take the toy? It's a good question to ask them. Make them think. Why did you take that toy? Was he enjoying that toy? Then would it make him sad or glad for you to take the toy? Well, they know it's going to make him sad. So you say, we don't take toys from each other. You may have it when he puts it down. Although righteous behavior is an outgrowth of heart attitude, it also comes by proper and consistent training. So we need to constantly be asking them, why are you doing what you're doing? So they know in their head what's going on in their heart. The Holy Spirit uses the Word of God to convict us of sin, and we also should use the Word of God when dealing with wrong behavior. Ephesians 4 and Proverbs has many, many family life teachings, and there are others that you can apply. Always point them to God's Word. I have a paper there called Disciplining with the Word, a sheet, and it has multiple behaviors and verses that go along with that. And I found that beneficial when I was raising my son. So every time a child violates God's law, we have an opportunity to point them to his need for Christ. Even a toddler can learn his need for Christ. Biblical discipline gets to the heart of the problem. If you can reach the heart, the behavior will take care of itself. Outward behavior is just the manifestation of the real problem in the heart. Luke 6:45 says, "The good man brings good things out of the good stored in his heart, for out of the overflow of his heart his mouth speaks." A change in behavior that does not stem from a heart change is not commendable. When we focus only on the outside behavior rather than on the heart, our children become manipulators. When we teach our children to understand what's in his heart, we are teaching him to evaluate his own motives on why he does what he does. Scripture says that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So we must help them understand what's going on in their heart. And God has given a balanced approach for training children. Proverbs 29:15 says, "The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself disgraces his mother." The reproof involves the correct use of our words. We must explain to them in simple and understandable terms what the child has done wrong. One should never use the rod without reproof. It will only provoke a child to anger. The whole purpose of discipline is to teach children the Word of God, how they have violated that Word, and their need for a Savior. We have to get our children to think right, and what better time than when they are just formulating their thoughts and how to make an idea. We are teaching the next generation. What are we teaching them? What are our goals in our nursery and in our homes? One thought is to bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. That's Ephesians. Point them to Christ. When we put our all into the work of the nursery, it's no longer laborious. Now our service can be filled with joy and anticipation, waiting to see what God is going to do in our children's lives and seeing them mature. I hope and pray that in today's meeting, it's been beneficial for you and that we will all seek to be more involved in the training of our little ones that God has brought into our nurseries. Children are a blessing from the Lord, and we have a responsibility to teach them about our Lord and Savior through big truths in God's Word. Are there any questions? No questions.